This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
How you been, Ian McNulty? It's the best time of week, man. I'm going to tell you what.
Oh, great to be back with you, Tommy. Absolutely. I was on the road last week when we spoke, but back home for another dashing busy week of the dining scene. Big news, big food events. One of the great eating weekends on the New Orleans calendar upon us as we speak. Some restaurants to check out, some restaurant stories to share, and some questions to field. This is why I like... Heck, this is why I love Fridays with you, Tommy. It's believe me, the news of the day that is riling headlines and stock reports is going to have a big impact on the food world and our food lives in New Orleans. But I'm going to leave that right now for other people with degrees other than English majors.
But hang on, since you brought it up, you're a counselor. You rang the bell. You can't unring it. So, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but what are you hearing from people in the restaurant business as far as concerns? And I did want to ask you about this because I'm thinking a lot of them use locally sourced products, which would not be subject to tariffs. However, when it comes to alcohol and wine, well, then some of the better, well, some of the more expensive, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead, take it.
Yes, you cannot remove one piece from the entire network. However, it's all interrelated system. That is globalized, and it's the obvious ones that are going to be hit the most are, you know, the wine retailers, the networks of wine sellers, the restaurants that sell wine. And it's not just so everyone's going to start drinking California. The distributors and the whole network that's set up for this relies on a huge amount of foreign wine coming through, and if they're not selling that, people say, go up for the California stuff. So expect, prices across the board to go up. Your cheeses beyond our beloved fromage américain of the American cheese. Don't take my word for it, though. I mean, a not exactly ravingly liberal progressive organization called the National Restaurant Association, which is highly conservative, greeted the news yesterday with a dire warning of costs going up and restaurants going out of business. So, it's all that opening bell jitters of it, perhaps, that are shaking people. But we'll see. If this stuff holds up, it's going to be a wild ride. And, prices have been something you've gnashed your teeth over at restaurants and stores. The smart people in the room are saying they're going to go up. So.
The only thing I'll say is kudos to the Louisiana Restaurant Association for voicing their honest opinion. And we'll let it go at that, and let's move on now. Tommy, let's start, I guess, with Hogs for the Cause, Ian.
Yeah, Hogs for the Cause. This is happening. The setup is in the final phases right now out there at the UNO Arena, the grounds outside by the lakefront. And, Tommy, I call this one of the great eating days of the New Orleans calendar because the amazing diversity, the cornucopia of food that's out there. Now, just the basics, Hugs for the Cause is a charity cook-off. It's based around barbecue, started small, grew big. The cause is supporting families who are contending with pediatric brain cancer. It's serious business. And this thing that started as a backyard barbecue has grown into the largest funder of its type in the nation. And so the heart and soul of it are these barbecue teams, these cook-off teams that come together and ostensibly, well, no, very seriously, they're vying for awards, barbecue awards, you know, best brisket, best ribs, from a panel of judges. But the whole reason for being is raising money for the cause. And they do this in a lot of different ways. They have sponsors. They have events and parties throughout the year. Then they also sell food at the festival. So you go, you show up as a festival goer, you buy a ticket, you walk in, and this sprawling grounds is home to 90 plus of these barbecue teams. And Tommy, it is like this never land of pork, wood smoke, barbecue, bourbon, beer, music on the stages, funny costumes, kids zipping around left and right. It's funny. It's family friendly. There are all these different themes that run through the teams. You take a stroll around, and it's like this carnivorous carnival of meaty delights that are being sold from the tables. And some of it's traditional barbecue, but most of it is, you know, they're doing the traditional barbecue for the judges, and most of what they're selling from the stands are these kind of far out creations. You know, if it can be grilled, smoked, stuffed, put on a skewer. It's like wrapped in bacon, paired with a chicken wing. It's likely to be out there tonight and tomorrow. And yes, that goes for dessert too. There'll be smoky, bacony desserts all over the place. And the stands themselves is something to behold. You know, some of the teams are quite modest, really, and they look like, you know, glorified tailgating stands. But others, I'd say most of them, like follow a theme that they do up in their stands and their costumes and interactive games that people can play when they walk around. And I mean, some of these stands are really, they're camps. They're like these campsites that people build for the weekend that are like almost like miniature theme park attractions. There's one, this group of riverboat pilots that worked in Mississippi and the kind of the colleagues that they made through there. They build an almost to scale replica of an old paddle wheeler out there on the grounds. You know, others are like these great tree forts that rise on the grounds. It's fun. It's interactive. And what you do is, you know, you buy your ticket, you get in, and then you go around from booth to booth buying different tastes of things while the music plays. And it's just, it's really fun. It's different from any fundraiser or festival or event that I've been to, because it has so much of its own character thanks to these teams and everything they put in there. So
allow me, if you will, to read a couple of sentences from a story written by Sam Winstrom for WWL-TV back in 2023. Hogs started 15 years ago when a group of friends put on a pig roast to raise money for Ben Surratt Jr., just 5 years old. Ben was fighting an incurable form of brain cancer. Since then, his dad has been there every year as Hogs for the Cause grew into the massive festival it is today. My son died, it would be 15 years ago now, and I feel it every day. But, you know, I keep moving forward, and there's money to help other families and help other kids. Families like Trey and Cherie Nobles, their daughter Margot, was diagnosed with neuroblastoma at just 5 years old. So the first thing he did was called Ben and said, "What do I do?" They had a 30-minute conversation where we cried, then we sucked it up. We fought for 2 years with our daughter through chemo, and she ended up beating it. And I hope she's all fine and good and well today. And the only reason I mention that is sometimes, you know, you wonder why tragedy happens, and I'm not in any way saying that this is a way of consoling the Surratts, but sometimes when something unfortunate happens, people come together and turn it into something good. And Lord knows how many people they have helped with this Hogs for the Cause with how big it's grown, is the only point I'm trying to make here, Ian.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it is. When you go out there, you can just experience it as a festival, and as I call it, a great day of eating, mm-hmm. and take it on those terms, and it's fun, and it's, and you know, it's goofy, it's indulgent. I mean, there's a lot of partying going on out there. But every person I've talked to who's involved with this organization on one of the teams, you know, no matter what their role is, if they're the pit master, if they're the person who's hawking food at the stand, if they're volunteering at the front gate, they are definitely motivated by that, the stories that you just shared. And the Hogs for the Cause organization does a great job of connecting people with that, bringing in the recipients, these families that are so grateful for the support and are such dire need. And, you know, I've seen big, bad, ham-fisted pit masters break down and shed a tear just because of the stories that have been related to them, and that's what really what fires them up. And seriously, I mean, some of these teams, Tommy, we're not talking about passing the hat around at work or, like, here, you know, sponsor my 5K run, which is all admirable. Some of these teams are raising six figures all on their own.
Wow.
This one team called Florida Q, last year, this one team, is perennial fundraising leader, $650,000 that they raised for this event. Just one team. So they're bringing in millions of dollars cause, and it really does make an impact, and you can see the infrastructure that's grown really from this impulse of a bunch of New Orleans people to rally around a family that they knew with food and hospitality. That's the magic stuff. So.
I know they have Hogs for the Cause sausage that I'll get at the store. Do they have any other products that you know of?
That's a great one. That's actually from a team, you know, done in agreement with the organization. Mm-hmm. But it's a team of chefs. It was a bunch of chefs. One was Tori McPhail from Commander's Palace. Justin Kennedy from Parkway. You got a number of chefs who came together to start their own team called Silence of the Hams, and they created a sausage in coordination with Chizazi's. And it's terrific. And yeah,
it's delicious, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, if you're out there at Hogs for the Cause, look for Silence of the Hams. You know, all the teams have these funny names, too. One's hand in hand. Very serious cause. Very good time. Very New Orleans. Very much recommend you go out there. I'll be there late afternoon today.
Tell me about, somebody says, how does it work? Do you get food with admission? It's a ticketless or cashless event, right? Explain the way it works, if you will, please, Ian, for people interested in going.
Buy a ticket, go online, get your ticket in advance, it'll be on your phone. And then once you get in, you're supporting the teams by buying food from them. They have drink booths set up around with beer, wine, cocktails, that kind of thing, all independent of the teams. And then you go to the individual teams and you're buying food from them. So yeah, it's not a pay one price. You pay a price to get in, and there's a full slate of musicians. Zach Topp is one of the big acts tomorrow with Charlie Crockett. There's three stages, so it's a music festival rolled in, and then one of the ways that you're supporting the cause is by buying food from the individual team. So my advice for first-time visitors, get in there, get yourself a cold drink of your choice, and then take a stroll. You know, walk around, kind of shop with your eyes, take in the scene. You'll be tempted to run to the first booth you see because you'll smell the food, and it'll be awesome, and it'll be like, you know, I don't know, an andouille corn dog or pulled pork nachos or something like that. But just shop around, make a few visual choices, have that second drink, then start digging in and share stuff. And the more people you go with, the more you can do that and exponentially have more things to try and experience. So,
and to be clear, this is a marathon. This is not a sprint, right? You want to pace yourself?
Correct, yes. Yeah. The ones who go in sprinting are often seen broken down by the first stage early on. So.
You don't want that to happen.
A full evening of eating or a full day tomorrow. And it really is a sight to behold. I've been going for years. If you haven't been, it's a blast. And yes, I know it's Lent. It's a Friday in Lent. But they have plenty of Beyond Pork. They do. Tonight, in fact, it's chicken wing and bacon night. So I know bacon goes on one side of the ledger. But lots and lots and lots of dishes out there tonight with bacon and chicken wing themes in particular. But plenty of the stands will have non-meat items, desserts, like I say, although, you know, let's be honest, it's a carnivore's delight out there.
The Jesus I know would say, if you're helping pediatric cancer, have a piece of meat. I'm looking the other way. I don't care. Tell me where else you've been eating. Wait, let me take a break. I'm sorry, Ian. It's 9:24. You know, I've been going on. I forgot about the clock. 9:24, more with Ian McNulty when we come back. If you have any questions are about eating or drinking, text them in to 504-260-1870. I'll pass them along. We come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Hogs for the Cause, UNO Lakefront Arena in that area, starts 3:30 today and tomorrow. Great event for a great cause. You can go to hogsfest.com, I think is what it is, if you want to find out all the details. hogsfest.org.com. Ian, where else you been eating and drinking? Give us some places to go this weekend, some things to do.
Well, you know, I'm going to preview this one. Last time when we talked, I was in the midst of a road trip down the Gulf Coast looking for restaurants, going a little out of the mold, actually quite a bit out of the template of the normal sort of pimento cheese, royal red shrimp. beach burger kind of situation down the Gulf Coast. And Tommy, I found them. I've got three that I'm going to feature in a big story coming out this weekend. Might even be later today. Might be tomorrow. Who knows when I'm going to post online. It'll probably be in Sunday's newspaper. And just the start of some fun coverage down the coast. So, you know, if people have, like, restaurants they think we should really check out down the coast, you know, the tips line is open on that. But just wanted to preview that a little bit for you. But back home, went to Tacos Del Cartel the other day, and this is downtown New Orleans. Some people remember they were open in Metairie with that very memorable name on David Drive. That restaurant's coming back soon with a very new look. And this is a brand that's poised for big things. And it just talking with the people who run it, they've got several different concepts coming very soon in the area. But the one that's open right now, kind of their flagship, I'd say, is downtown. It's in the South Market District. It's across from the Rouses and the CBD by Willa Jean, that cluster right there, very close to the arena and the Superdome. And it makes a striking visual statement. It's all done up with this like elaborate Mexican art theme and these indoor artificial trees that are popping with flowers and blossoms, elaborate cocktails. But what really impressed me were the tortillas. They're making their own tortillas in-house, you know, right from the masa into the tortillas, yellow, blue. Some of them are being fried for taquitos. There's a chocolate tortilla that they make a dessert out of. I was there for a special dinner, and they really pulled out all the stops. But you can see what they're doing. They're special, going way beyond just the basics. And this is a company that I think you're going to see make some waves because they've got a number of other restaurant concepts that are about to pop. So if you haven't been yet, it'd be a place that would be easy to drive by in the CBD and not think twice about. But if you stop and go in, you'll be pulling out your camera to take some snaps.
And where is it again, Ian?
In the CBD on Girard Street and what is that? O'Keefe, right by Maypop, Willa Jean, the Rouses in the CBD, that cluster by the South Market District.
Gotcha. Keep going.
Yeah, sure. I had dinner with the governor this week. He didn't know that, but we did. We happened to be at Chop House Steakhouse, also downtown, when a hubbub broke out, and walked a bunch of men with little pins on their lapels, clearing way for the governor. And it turned into. Do you ever see the Your Honor? You know that streaming show, Your Honor,
right,
set in New Orleans. And there's a lot of intrigue, and you know, it's set in these familiar New Orleans settings. You see all these Hollywood characters going around, kind of doing all these things. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, the dining room had that kind of feel, right? Suddenly, everyone who was in there for a steak dinner or whatever, you started thinking, oh, maybe there's pieces in place. People are coming up and talking. People are moving tables. They're shaking hands. It was an interesting bit of political theater to watch over what was, at the end of the day, an excellent bone-in ribeye. I hadn't been to Chop House in a long time, but a first-class martini, a great steak. Some of the sides and appetizers, you know, they're priced like entrees in some cases. But if you just go in and focus on what you want, a really good steak, good martini, piano player playing in the lounge, you can hear throughout the dining room, and the possibility of political drama intrigue swirling around you in a well-dressed crowd on a Wednesday evening.
That's on Magazine Street, right?
That's on Magazine Street downtown. Yeah, right across from their second restaurant, Bon Ton Prime Rib, that you and I have talked about, which I think is doing great things. So,
Ian, real quick,
check back.
You know the history of Ruth's Chris on Broad Street before Katrina, right?
Oh, yes.
That was the political, man, you wanted to see the movers and the shakers and the political intrigue, that was a place to go. That's where a lot of deals got done.
Yes, a lot of people. A lot of people leaving with leftovers. I was told, you know, certain officials may stop and meet you for lunch, and then happen to leave with two steaks, and two lobsters, takeout bag. I've heard stories like that, Tom.
Lobster,
I have.
Roll
but
of
those
money.
Were the old
bag full of money. Who knows what was in the bags? Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Where else?
Steakhouse is always going to be hotbeds of that kind of thing because it's the big spender crowd, and let's face it, it's not exotic dining. You know, if you have ulterior motives in mind, you're not trying to take apart the complexities of a fine Thai street food melange, which I had last night, actually.
Really?
Tuk Tuk Thai. Yes, this is over on Vets, very close to Jorniak's. It has been open a few years. It frankly been too long for me. I kind of pigeonholed it as a, you know, fairly standard Thai restaurant. I think their initial menu maybe didn't blow me away. Some pad Thai, some egg rolls, that kind of thing, which, you know, even sort of mid-range, middling Thai food is usually pretty good food. But then finally went, checked it out, turned over the menu to the chef special section, and was blown away. This is a tiny little place, Tommy. It shares maybe one-fifth of a strip mall with a couple other things, including a Chinese takeout restaurant. It's right by Dornyak's on Vets.
On the same side of the street or across the street?
Across the street from Dornyak's.
Gotcha. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, yeah. This is the, the Fury side, yep, of the road, New Orleans Hamburg Food Mart Wine Cellar, that side.
Where the, where the seafood restaurant used to be, Ralph and Kaku's.
Near there, yes, yeah, correct. Wow, that's an incredibly New Orleans conversation.
Yes, it is.
Duck, Duck, Thai, it blew me away. Very small, family-run spot. We piled up three dishes and decided we have to go back and try more and more and more. If you remember the restaurant Nola, Emeralds Nola, he had a great dish on the menu, stuffed chicken wings. There's this Vietnamese-style dish that they had on the menu at Emeralds French Quarter restaurant. Split open chicken wings, stuff it with pork, rice noodles, vegetables, just awesome. Well, restaurant Nola is no longer with us, never reopened after the pandemic. And this has no relation to Emeralds, except that this is the only other place I've seen that dish. They have stuffed chicken wings on the specials menu last night at Tuck Tuck Thai, and we tucked into them. And Tommy Tucker, they were terrific.
So Tommy Tucker, the tucked up Thai was delicious. That's what you're telling me?
No, it was terrific. Come on, I'm fucking following the
terrific. I'm sorry, terrific. Yes, I lost the alliteration thread there. Because I'm getting distracted by the text here. Somebody texted in and said they have somebody coming in from out of town, and you want to take them to an authentic New Orleans / Italian restaurant.
Oh, God, so many! But for an out of towner, I'm going right to Mid City. I'm going to Mandina's.
Oh yeah,
The glowing neon, the streetcars rattling past. I know we talk Creole Italian, New Orleans joint with Italian food. Everyone's got their favorites. There's so many good ones. I mean, even right there in Mid-City, you've got Liuza's on Bienville Street, which is doing a lot of the same stuff. Fantastic with its own character. But if it's an out-of-towner, if it's the first time for a place like this, go to the mothership. You know, just go there. Order exactly this. Get the onion rings, get the meatballs, get the fried chicken, and get the shrimp bordelaise. That's the precise order that I got last time with some family that were visiting. Oh, and of course, add an old fashioned for each person at the table if you're of that mode. That exact order proved to be a perfect dinner. And you know, the neon lights, the New Orleans characters around, the people standing at the bar with their elbow on the table, not because they're waiting for a table, because that's where they want to be. They love that spot at the bar. Streetcars rolling past, like I said. And then if you have any room in the tank, you're going to Angelo Riccardo's around the corner. Boom. You just had a great New Orleans experience.
You know, as you say that, what I admire so much about Mandina's is that it is so authentic that it would be easy to become a caricature of itself, but it never has. It has remained faithful. They don't fake the funk. It is as genuine can be. Would you agree with that?
The greatest testament I can give to that is the specials board. Look at the specials list. This is a restaurant that's doing vegetable soup that's mostly beef, that's doing a brisket. They do corned beef and cabbage on Tuesday, not because this is like a trendy thing or like this is what every tourist is looking for, but because that's the way they've done it there always, and they keep doing it, and they have, you know, a kitchen schedule and chefs and recipes dedicated to keeping that stuff going. And you don't do that if you're just, you know, slinging out cliches because you got a line out the door. It's a real deal, heart and soul, family-run place, and hats off to them.
Last time I was there, I had some kind of eggplant dish, and it tasted exactly like something my mother would make. I forgot what the name of it was. It was a daily special. Hey, real quick, eggplant. Somebody's looking for a, what was it? Do you know the name of it? No, eggplant, whatever it was, do you know?
Eggplant Tommy? No.
I don't know. Real quick, somebody's looking for a haggis in New Orleans. I guess that's Scottish food?
Yes, it is. I love the requests coming through here. Thank you, my Anglophile friends out there. The only place I've seen haggis ever in New Orleans is at the Jules de Salles restaurant down in the French Quarter, which is a very high-end cocktail lounge and restaurant doing modern British food. And Chef Phil, who's from London, often has a haggis rendition on the menu. It's different from the big slab of haggis comfort food you might get back in Scotland. It's, you know, they're an upscale place there, but that would be the place in New Orleans for haggis. And they even had it on their culinary menu in the summertime in August. Haggis in the summer in New Orleans, that's the Tennessee Williams play that was never written, my friend.
And haggis, for those that... a traditional Scottish dish, savory pudding made from minced sheep's pluck, heart, liver, and lungs mixed with oatmeal, suet, spices, and onions, traditionally cooked inside a sheep's stomach. Is that accurate?
That's right. And if you're a fan of ponts, Cajun ponts, kind of similar without all the organ meat, perhaps. Nothing's new in this world, Tommy. It's all related. And I've had traditional haggis. It's delicious. You know, when you break it down to all those parts, you think that sounds like a dog's lunch. But it's not. When it all comes together, it's more like the dog's bollocks.
Outstanding. Thank you, Ian. Have a great week, Ian McNulty. Just search Ian McNulty. You can find whatever you need. We'll take a break, come back, get some weekend winners from JR. Final Four weekend here on the big games are coming up here. Back in a flash, WWL. Traffic first.